We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finnett. We've got a wonderful show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we will be interviewing Detroit's own Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein, who's written a book called Engage, Enthuse, Empower. It's a new philosophy in learning and life. It's really a very exciting piece of work that Rabbi Bergstein has put together. The portion of the week is the portion of Behalosecha. It can be found in the book of Numbers, chapter 8 and following. We've got wonderful new Jewish music scattered throughout the show. A wonderful, it's an amazing Hasidic story. This is like really insightful Hasidic story all the way at the end. Stay tuned for that. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. A ceasefire was announced for Friday, but last Friday, between Hamas and Israel. 230 Arab terrorists and 12 Israelis were killed during the conflict. Hamas launched more than 1,200 missiles towards Israeli population centers. 95% of the missiles were intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome. 56-year-old Lod resident Yigal Yoshua died after being critically wounded by a mob of Arab rioters. Yoshua was struck in the head by a brick while he was in his car. His kidney was donated to an Arab woman. Four rockets were fired into Israel from southern Lebanon. The Iron Dome stopped one. The others fell harmlessly. IDF soldiers stopped a terror attack in Hebron. The suspect, a member of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, was killed when the explosives he was carrying detonated. Two people died and 184 people were injured when the bleachers in a Stolner synagogue in Israel collapsed. The Organization of American States, an international coalition of 35 countries in North and South America, has designated Hamas a terrorist organization. About time. More than 100 Palestinians occupied an Israeli-owned drone factory in England. As of this writing, local police are negotiating with the Palestinians. Rabbi Rafi Godwin was attacked near his synagogue in Chigwell, England, requiring hospitalization. Two men were arrested and charged with a hate crime. A Jewish student at the University of Michigan was taken to the hospital after being attacked. The 19-year-old suffered a concussion and internal bleeding. 30 Palestinians attacked diners at a restaurant in L.A., injuring two people. Police are investigating the hate crime. And finally, Sweden's Ministry of Health is investigating a Jewish doctor who performs ritual circumcision for not using anesthesia, as according to the Prozac protocols, because in Sweden, they don't want anybody to do anything Jewish. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein from Chabad of Farmington Hills on the show today. We're talking about his new book, and Power Enthuse Engage, and if I got that one right. And welcome to the show, Rabbi Bergstein.
How are you?
Good, thank God. Okay, this work that you did, which I was actually quite very, it's very impressive work, and it's there's a lot of thought and consideration that went into this work. What's the philosophy? Let's talk about this one. What's the philosophy behind this book that makes this a really unique book, please, Rabbi Bergstein?
First of all, that all things are evolved from each other. The way a person, for example, I know a little bit of handwriting analysis, the way you write your name is also the way you do all other things, especially when you think nobody's looking at them. The way a person learns to think is the way a person also learns to behave. And the behavior is a reflection of the ideology. What I discovered was that I was actually thinking in three different ways, also behaving in three different ways. And when I got up to speak or when I got up to write something about the Torah, I was looking at things in different ways, in three different ways from three different classical sources, the traditional sources of the Talmud and the commentaries, the philosophical sources like the Rambam, Maimonides, and others, and the Hasidic masters. And I realized all three of them had a different way of approaching things. At first, I thought it was only regarding questions and therefore by extrapolation and dealing with problems. Then I discovered, no, just as you deal with a problem, you also deal with relationships. There are three different ways or three different steps, if you will, if you want, in dealing in a relationship. It doesn't make a difference if it's a friend, if it's a business associate, if it's a customer, if it's a relative, or it's you're looking for a spouse. You have three different levels of relationships, and they reflect these three different levels of understanding or approaching the Torah. And I was amazed that this was consistent both in the negative and the positive, and it was consistent with all the sources. And I began to write along these lines because I wanted to share this idea with people, with others. And of course, it took a while. I actually did this at a time when suddenly things were collapsing around me. I had a lot of time on my hands and I didn't have what to fill it with. So I started writing on the Torah, and that was about 20 years ago. And then it was a manuscript, and I had written it. And, you know, once you write it, that's it. What what else do you have to do? Then you have to go to the process of actually editing it and getting it out there. In the meantime, God helps, and you have all different kinds of responsibilities, especially as a rabbi or a Chabad rabbi. And this was put to the side. Finally, I decided, you know, I put so much effort into this, let's get this out. And so the last couple of years, I've had this edited, re-edited several times, and finally, it's there.
Okay, so let's your title sums it all up: engage, enthuse, and power, as being these three different disciplines. Could you let's go step by step? What's this idea? What do you mean when you say engage, Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein?
Okay, first of all, it could also be in the negative. Avoid, avoid, go above, and transform would be in the negative. Let's take, for example, you see a lemon, all right? The lemon, you've tasted it, and it tastes sour, and you don't like sour stuff. So you do what the commentaries would do, that if you're dealing with something that's negative, you just avoid it. Go to some place which is positive. Find yourself some sweet fruit and avoid the lemon. That would be the engage, because you're dealing with the superficial relationship. The philosophers looked at things a little more deeply and wanted to see what the long-term benefits or long-term negative elements were from everything. And so they looked at into the lemon and discovered, lo and behold, the lemon actually has some good things to it. So just hold your nose and eat it, because the vitamin C will help you prevent scurvy. that's fine. That's the philosophical way, that you find something about something, whether it has some good points on it, and you'll follow that line of reasoning. The Hasidic masters always saw the positive even in the negative. And therefore, all Hasidim would take a lemon and make lemonade out of it. They would make the negative into a positive. An example would be, let's say you see a person who is totally not like you, totally irreligious, and even disrespectful of your religion. He may even say some things, that are some choice words that you don't like about the fact that you have a beard and that you do crazy things like keep kosher and stuff like that. And so how are you supposed to deal with this person? So the classical commentators would say, well, avoid a person, such a wicked person. You got to avoid it. You can't even be in his neighborhood. You can't even look at his face. The philosophers will say, well, wait a second. Maybe there's something good about this person. Maybe we can get something good from this person, from the relationship with the person. After all, you know, you can't always run away from people. The Hasidim would say, wait a second, this guy, that the stuff that I don't like, that's this external stuff called the body and the animal soul. The soul is perfect. It's beautiful. So you go over to the guy and says, hey, buddy, how about putting on tefillin? I'll tell you a story, an interesting story regarding that approach. My mother once had this guy who made my mother's life miserable. And I would visit, and he would make my life miserable because he made my mother's life miserable. And one day he was... He started up with me, and he started yelling at me. He was going to go ahead and take my car and take it to a lot. He was going to my car was in the wrong parking spot, he said, and he was going to go ahead and bring a tow truck and take it away. And so he yelled at me. I yelled at him. And then I stopped myself, says, wait a second. How have I been taught to deal with a guy like this? So I went downstairs after we had yelled at each other for about 10 minutes. I said, his name was Mr. Takif. I said, Mr. Takif, how about coming up to my apartment? And let's talk about it. So he walked up to the apartment. He sat himself down, told me a little bit about himself. I offered him some lemonade and some cookies. And in the middle of our conversation, he starts crying. I said, why are you crying? He says, because I'm being so nasty to you and you're being so nice to me. And then I asked him, maybe, you know, when was the last time you put on tefillin? And that was 70 years before. I put on tefillin for the first time in 70 years with this guy. And we left as friends. I went ahead and I took somebody that was an enemy of my mother, an enemy of mine, who was being nasty, threatening to take my car and dispose of it somewhere. And all of a sudden, he became my best friend. So the idea of empowerment is transformation. You transform the negative into a positive. And then if you have it in the positive side, you meet a person. Let's say you're looking for a friend or you're looking for a student. You know, what is it that you're looking for? So some people would look for people who will support them or people who will hold them in high esteem. That's the first step. That's called engage.
Then there are people wait a minute. That was the first step, but you said there's three steps in that process of looking at that. There was the lemon, which don't eat, the lemon, which is like, okay, I got to eat it even though I don't like it. And then making the lemon into lemonade, which is world said. The world says, it's an old expression, if life leaves you lemons, make lemonade. So that's what people said, turn the negative into a positive.
But that's always the Hasidic. In other words, if you have a question, how do you deal with a question, or how do you deal with a bully? So the classical philosophers will tell you, avoid the bully. Don't go outside. Just avoid the guy. The philosophers will say, well, you got to go above the guy. Find yourself an authority, a bigger bully, and walk with the bigger bully, and he won't be able to touch you. And the Hasidim will say, make him your friend. Make him your friend. Go ahead and learn how to get this guy. Maybe you can make him into a friend of yours, and then you don't have an enemy, you just have a friend. That's the process that Hasidus is different from all other philosophies up until today. The classical philosophers were either engage or enthuse. They were either avoid if it's a negative, or just get involved but not too deeply. And then the philosophers were to see if you can get involved deeply and so on. And the Hasidim were looking for unity. They try to find commonality with everybody. And commonality with even the people furthest from them. And I give you an example in terms of students. There are people who like to have students that are nice, they behave nicely, they're smart, and so on. That's the students that they present you in the, on the pictures. They have all pictures, nice faces, and people who are very neat, and so on and so forth. And they also sometimes talk well, and they behave well. Then there are people who are looking for disciples. They're looking for people who become ideologues. They understand your ideology, and they promote your ideology. Not just they look nice, they talk nice. You're looking for people who understand what you stand for and are able to articulate it and get other people to believe in that same ideology. The third level is you're not looking for people to give ideology. You're not looking for people to be examples. You're looking for people that you can trust to do what you would ordinarily do. In other words, you don't look for people as supporters, people that make you look better. You're not looking for people to make you more popular. You're looking for people that you can trust to do a job and to do it without looking for themselves. And that's the difference between the Rebbe, Lubavitcher Rebbe, and all other teachers. All other teachers are looking for enthusiasts, adherents, or disciples. The Rebbe was looking for shluchim. He was looking for people he could trust with what he would ordinarily do. He trusted us, empowered us to do things as if it was he himself who was doing it.
Okay.
And that's third level.
Okay, our guest today is Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein. He's written a book called Engage, Enthuse, Empower. So it sounds like, Rabbi Bergstein, you're kind of like poo-pooing the engage and the enthuse and going right to the empower. So why don't you just call the book Empower?
Because you can't always use empower. Now, somebody dies, somebody was injured and lost his hand, got blinded. There's no way you can make that positive. It can be positive. The Rebbe was able to transform positive, but it's very rare a person can inspire somebody to look at it as a positive.
I'm going to take umbrage with that statement, because I was just going to give the example that the Rebbe pointed out, that the word handicapped in Hebrew is actually translated as superlative people. These are people who are beyond. They have like other powers, and that there's this happened, and you can do something, and you can't do what you did before, but now you can do this other thing. And the Rebbe always tried to turn this put the positive spin on it, and try to make the best situation from it. You don't need to be a Rebbe for that.
No, but that is somebody. You need the authority, need the position of Rebbe. The first time you're dealing with the person is really hurt. Lost this child, for example, or lost this parent. You don't say this is great, this is good. You don't try to make something that's tragic into a positive thing. So you have to show empathy. You always have to be a mensch. You always have to engage the person first. You always have to try together with that person to show the person, well, maybe there's something we can learn from this. That's later. The first thing you need to do is engage the person. Hello?
Yes.
So this is the first thing you need to do. You have to engage the person. After you engage the person, then you can go ahead and see something deeper, and together you can look at this in a deeper way. But the first thing you need to do is be a mensch. There is no best way of dealing with things. Empowerment is the ultimate, but only after you've gone through the other two steps. I'll give you an example. You met your wife. Your wife is a wonderful woman. We know her. She's multi-talented, and she's a great lady.
Thank you.
When you met, the first thing was you began to talk small talk. You began to see whether you get along, whether you attracted, whether there was a mutual, enjoyment of company. But then you began to look more deeply to see if this could be long lasting, because you had to see if your goals in life were similar. If you looked at life and what you wanted out of life, if they were the same, that would be the enthuse element, the long term elements of it. But the final step of a marriage is, do you trust your partner implicitly? Will your partner do for you as if you were doing for yourself? If you had Bill Gates's money and you got sick, would you be able to trust your spouse that she wouldn't pull the plug just to get your money? That is the level of trust that a person ultimately has to have with his spouse. And that's the level of empowerment. You trust the other person as if the person was yourself, you would trust implicitly that person would only do what you yourself would do. And by the way, that's what the Rebbe had with us. You and I are shluchim. The Rebbe trusted us that we would never violate his standards of behavior. we'd always do what the Rebbe would want us to do, because he had that trust in us, and that's what makes the person who is called a shliach, an agent or an emissary, different than just a student or a disciple. Because as a disciple, you can understand the ideology, you can even promote the ideology. That doesn't mean you follow through. The idea of a shliach is you would always do what the Rebbe would want you to do at that moment. And that's what that's the trust that you have in a spouse, the trust that you have in a child who really loves you like you love yourself.
So then are
that
you...
level,
go ahead,
that
I'm
level,
sorry.
The ultimate level. So it doesn't start with that. It starts with engage, it goes on to enthuse, and then guts to empower. Okay. You don't start with empower right away.
So then are you saying, Rabbi Bergstein, that a goal should be that anybody with whom we come in contact and would include in our circle of contacts, that we should be to the ability, like to empower them to be engaged with us?
To empower them to do to the world or for the world exactly as we ourselves would do. We give them the ideology. We give them what we consider to be the purpose of life. And then, if we know that they've absorbed the lesson properly, we trust them to do exactly as we ourselves would do. But you have to be careful who you give that license to. You have to be careful who becomes your shliach. You can't just give it to anybody, because there could be people who would deviate from what is correct and what is proper. So you obviously have to be discerning. But our goal would be to create a unity of the world, that we would all stand for the same ideals, that we would trust each other, that we would care for each other as if we were caring for ourselves. And that's the ultimate goal of life. That's the ultimate goal of Mashiach, to create this harmony in the world, that we could love each other as we love ourselves. We could trust each other as we trust ourselves, that we would know that the other person was there for us as we are for ourselves.
Okay, our guest today is Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein of Chabad of Farmington Hills. He's written a book called Engage, Enthuse, Empower. Okay, this all sounds very good for you and I. We're rabbis. What about Joe on the street? Is this something for him also? He's the one who's trying to get enthused rather than to enthuse.
Okay. Well, the Joe on the street has to... There are times when you have to go ahead and empower other people. There's times when you have to learn to trust other people. You have to just know whom to trust. But ultimately, we need to empower others. We do this all the time. We write wills. We engage in contracts. We have to have a certain commonality with the people that we engage in. We have to protect ourselves. But ultimately, we're not looking for the protection. We're looking for relationships with people whom we feel would act in our best interest, as we would do for them totally. And that's a very, very high standard, but everybody can reach that level if you understand why we have to be that way. The reason why we have to be that way is because we are all a part of God. There is no separation between ourselves and any person in this world. Every person in this world, everything in the universe, is created by God and therefore is there for a purpose, not just for ourselves. If we can go out of ourselves, we can crawl out of our skins for a moment and realize that we're here not just for ourselves. We're here to make the world better. It's called Tikkun Olam. But we really are looking to make the world better. We're not really looking just for ourselves. We start off looking for ourselves, but ultimately, we come to a point and realize we're not here for ourselves. We're here to make things better. And every person can reach this level. Every person can transform the world, can make every lemon into a lemonade. Every person can do that. And not just to make it pleasant for yourself, but to make the world a better place.
Okay, let's talk about, it seems like the theme of the book is geared on learning. You draw lessons from directly from the Torah. So how do we apply this to somebody who is anywhere between erudite scholar to rank beginner in their engagement in Jewish thought and philosophy, and even for the non-Jews who are listening, when they want to engage in some sort of knowledge-based something, which the purpose of learning knowledge is really become a better person, Rabbi Bergstein.
Okay. So the first thing that you have to realize is that there is no such thing as an element in the Torah that you can't use to better yourself. The study of the Torah has, as a result of that study, the betterment of the person. That's its ultimate goal. And so the process of studying Torah should not be seen as just an intellectual element, but should be seen as part of the process of self-growth, of growing to be a better person. How you study Torah will always also reflect how you deal with things. When you deal with things that are superficial or, you know, initial reaction, or even when you see the utilitarian value of things, that's the first levels of engagement and enthuse. If that's where you, if that's how you study, that's how you will approach things in your life. When a neighborhood becomes a little bit uncomfortable, the first response is to move. And that's what happened in the 60s and 70s in various parts of this country. And I won't go into the things, but this is what happened. People ran away because they were only in the process of engaging. Whatever was pleasant, whatever was convenient, that's what I did. If it's not convenient, then I'll just go elsewhere. Then there are people who look to see if there's a way for me to remain and to grow. And that would be the enthuse. The people who remain and not are undaunted are people who believe that ultimately there is no such thing as a bad neighborhood. There's no such thing as bad people. There is only opportunity to make it better. Sometimes you can do it, sometimes you can't. But we see, for example, the Rebbe refused to run away when others ran away in Crown Heights. Now today, Crown Heights is one of the most burgeoning neighborhoods in the country. Real estate in Crown Heights is through the roof. The neighborhood has become a place where people can enjoy being. You can walk throughout the neighborhood, walk even to Bed-Stuy. You can walk through Bedford-Stuyvesant. When we were growing up, Rabbi Finman, policemen were afraid to walk there. Today you can be in Bed-Stuy at midnight and people walk around and enjoy themselves because people have learned to transform the neighborhood, to transform their conditions. People have learned to get along with each other in a different way. And that's the ultimate goal. By learning Torah in this way, by seeing how you're supposed to make the world better. How do you make the world better? You start with little things. I eat the right thing. I only keep kosher. I transform the way I eat. I transform the way I do business. I transform the way I relate to people. You know, when you have healthy people, you have healthy neighborhoods. When you have healthy neighborhoods, you have healthy cities, and so on and so forth. That's how you transform. You don't transform the world because you decide you want to transform the world. That's only for somebody as big as Mashiach. We transform the world one step at a time, each person on their own. So each person learning Torah, the Torah is not meant as an intellectual exercise. It's meant to be real and to be part of life. And it teaches us how we're supposed to deal with life. And when you take the teachings of the Hasidic doctrine, that we're supposed to look at everything, at what its purpose is, and to see the good that's there, and not to see the outward shell, then you can transform your biggest opponent to your best friend.
That's wonderful. Okay, that's great. Again, our guest today has been Rabbi Chaim Moshe Bergstein. The book is called Engage, Enthuse, Empower, and I'm assuming that it's available on Amazon and wherever one procures fine Jewish books.
Not yet. Amazon, we haven't gotten there yet. I can give you my cell number. If people want the book, I have some books left. We only printed a small amount. If we have a demand for it, we will do a second printing and a third printing, hopefully. But, you know, I didn't know whether people will want copies or not. So I made only a certain number of books, not enough to put on Amazon. But if you call me, 248-613-1809, I will see whether I can fulfill the order. If I get orders beyond that, I will actually reprint the book.
Okay.
Thank you.
Again, the number is 613-1809. And if you didn't catch that, go to the website. What's your website at Beis Chabad, or have I ever seen?
It's Chabad of Farmington Hills.
Chabad of Farmington Hills. Okay, I want to thank you so much, and we'll keep us apprised of future endeavors.
Good Shabbos to you, Reb Hirsch.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Hey, Herschel Fidman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Let's listen to some music. This is Baruch Levine. Sein Chalkeinu, and give us a portion.
Stand in white on the holiest day, overcome with deep emotion. As day turns to night and you're slipping away, my heart won't let me go. This is who I want to be. I want to stay here with you all year long. Together we stand, having come to take part, a parade all in your honor. Sefer Torah in hand, oh the joy in my heart, when I dance with you. This is who I want to be. I want to hold you this close all year long.
All year long.
Can I be part of your glory? Your Torah, my treasure, for now and forever. I want you a part of my story. This is who I want to be. When I feel it, I feel me. V'Simchel Keinu, V'Soira Secha. Can I be part of your glory? Your Torah, my treasure, for now and forever. I want you a part of my story. This is who I know is me. May it always be this clear for me to see.
My heart won't let me go.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herr Schulfenman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. I always encourage people to send me letters, and as I say, any comment, question, critique, or otherwise, and lately it's been a while since I've actually played any klezmer music, and the comments, critiques, etc. have been coming in. This is brand new, absolutely brand spanking new, okay? And we use the word spanking to like what they used to do to new babies that were just born, but they don't do that anymore. But, so this is brand unspanking new, and this is, the group is called Kings of Klezmer. That's sort of like, okay, we got to live up to that one. And the song is called Parnassa, which means livelihood or income.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herr Schultzman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. We have up next, the song is called Listen to Your Neshama, which means listen to your soul. It's a very pretty tune. It's written by Yerachmiel Begun. And Yerachmiel Begun, at this point, has written hundreds of songs. One of these days, I'm going to find an excuse. I'll try to get him on, and we can talk about the development. He started 40 years ago, maybe even longer than that. It used to be Yerachmiel Begun in the Miami Boys Choir, but he's since moved on from that. And this song is together with Baruch Levine, who we heard before, who has a very good voice, and he's also been around for a while. And still cutting them out. So I hope you enjoy this as much as I did.
How to know what music one should really hear. To know to guard yourself from watching without care. The answer is on the inside. It holds that dear truth. Don't be fooled, don't be swayed by mistakes of youth.
So there you have the secret, one that you can share. How to remain kadosh, we must stay aware. When life throws us a challenge, think of the message of this song. Hashem placed his faith in you when choosing right from wrong.
There's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone.
Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com. Schulfen, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. The portion that we will be reading this week in the synagogue is a portion of Behalosacha. It's the hardest, probably one of the harder names of the portions to pronounce. And we're not going to go into the meaning of it per se. We've done that in years past. It is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 8 and following. One of the things mentioned in this portion are the way in which the Jewish people were assigned to travel through the camp. We know that the Jews wandered through the desert for 40 years, and to get from place to place, they traveled in a specific formation, and this is all discussed in this week's portion, and they traveled at a specific time when the indication, the cloud of glory, indicated it's time to move, and there was also signs that were given through the blowing of trumpets. How do you get people that live in a square area of 36 kilometers to suddenly know, hey, it's time to move, let's go? And they had this alert system that per se, where they blew trumpets, which is all discussed in this week's Parsha. What's the deal? There is the common adage that the Torah is not a history book, and we are not engaged in Jewish trivial pursuit and just like putting bits of information to our brains. But rather, everything in the Torah, every letter, is a lesson. So what do we learn about the way in which the Jews traveled? Well, it says in the portion that according to the Almighty, they traveled, and according to the Almighty, they camped. That's a verse in this week's Parsha. It didn't stop 3,300 years ago when the Jews crossed the Jordan, even though we don't have a cloud of glory, which has suddenly went from horizontal, which meant camp, to vertical, which meant move. We don't have that, but we get other signs. Okay, we have these things. Like, for example, we have an alarm clock that says, it's time to wake up. Okay, and that's how many times has it happened to you that, for example, the alarm clock went off and you rolled over and went back to sleep, and 2 minutes later, the phone rang. And what makes it even more perplexing is, it was Mr. Nobody. It was some kind of robocall, and they hung up before you got to answer the phone. Indicating what? Hey, it's time to get out of bed. So we have these little things that get dropped in on our laps, right in front of our faces. We, just like the Jewish people, have to follow the cloud. The cloud was pointing, go this way. Nobody, I'm not even saying nobody in the right mind, but nobody ever entertained the thought, you know, I think I want to go this way. I don't want to go that way. I want to go this way. I think this way is cooler. Okay, this is going to be a better way. Okay, nobody did that because everybody saw the Almighty saying, this is the way you need to go. This is where we don't have it so easy because we've got the fork in the road. And as the saying goes, the path of least resistance is illegal, immoral, or fattening. And we know that there's things that we shouldn't do. And we have to stop and take a second sometimes to think, well, which way do I go? And very often we're faced with a choice, two choices, and they both look pretty good. Okay, both of them seem to get me where I need to be next, where I next need to be.
But you only take one of them. One of them's for sure the right way, and the other one's for sure the wrong way. And for that, a person really needs to, like, if you get to such a thing and you don't know, well, it's time to reflect. Where do I need to be? Where should I be putting myself? And at that point, if a person can't, well, talk it over with a friend, with a mentor. Because they were put in the world also. The point is that the Almighty is pointing the way. We have to follow. Speaking of follow, we've got a commercial break, and following that is a really great Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herr Schulfenman, here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Best way, go to rabbifinman.com. And on my homepage is a contact link, and you can contact me. And I will, in turn, God willing, contact you. And I appreciate all the letters that you send. A comment, a question, a criticism, critique, an inquiry, whatever it happens to be. Because I know you're listening. Positive feedback of any kind is feedback. It's negative. Rabbi, I don't like the way you did this. Okay, I've gotten those. Okay, for those people who are listening now on podcast only, well, we do the interview, the news and the interview only on Facebook because people said, you know, it looks really dumb watching you listen to a song. So the only way to listen to the songs and listen to the story and listen to the monologue is here on the podcast. But, oh, by the way, if you want to do see the Facebook thing, which is me interviewing the person, you want to get, you can't wait till like Sunday when the podcasts are posted. So on Friday morning, late morning, sometime around 11 o'clock. So I post those to my Facebook page, which is Rabbi Finman on Facebook. So, and that was because of input that I received from people like you. There's also other things to check out on RabbiFinman.com. There's a lot there, and we put a lot of work into it, and check it out. And the point why I'm mentioning it mostly about this is because there's a donations page there. The Jewish Hour costs money. We need your help. We are listener-supported. We have been listener-supported. Now, we're going into our 26th year. That's the numerical value of God's name. It's a very appropriate thing. I'd like to get way up past that. And I've only been able to do it with your help and support. So go to rabbifinman.com and visit the donations page. Make a donation. If you want to make a smaller donation over a monthly period, you can do that too with through PayPal, which is right there on the website. The whole thing takes you 3 minutes, maybe less if you're adept at it. Don't like internet giving? No problem. We started out before the internet with the Jewish Hour, and we were listener-supported specifically through letters addressed to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Do it today. Don't forget. Story today happened in 1933 in the city of Kreshowitz, Poland. A little village near I don't know where. It's east of Grosse Pointe Farms is about the best I could say. The Poland at that time, before World War II, was governed by something called a Board of Colonels. It was a bunch of military people who were from different countries who decided that they're going to be in control of Poland. And they were very anti-Semitic, levying all kinds of harsh decrees and all kinds of taxes that were, and it was really very, very hard for Jews at that point. And I'm surprised that more Jews weren't smart and saw the writing on the wall and left. I mean, the Great Migration from Poland was in the 1920s, and a lot of people left, thank God, like my bubby, for example. But not enough left because a million Jews were killed in the Holocaust. 1933, there was a heavy tax levied on this village of Kreshowitz. And there was a certain person who couldn't pay. And what would they do if you couldn't pay? They would come to your house and they would take all your furniture. Okay, so they walk into this guy's house. He's a tailor. And they started, like, taking account how much he has, what it's worth. And they saw this, like, flag, this, like, pole with a Polish crest, which is like the eagle, draped over something. And he said, let's see what's underneath it. So they saw it was a sewing machine. I said, okay, fine, sewing machine. They wrote it down. So the guy put the tablecloth, this banner thing over it, and it kind of started to slide, and finally it slid off. And then as they were discussing it, so this Jew stepped on the cloth. The tax inspector said, how dare you insult the honor of the Polish people by standing on their crest, and had him immediately arrested, which they could do back then. It was like, you know, Jewish life was cheap. Jewish lives didn't matter. Simple as that. He was let out on bail, and he immediately went to the Bava River Rebbe and asked him, the Bava River Rebbe at that time, his name was Rebbe Benzion Halberstam, and he actually escaped Poland, and told them the following advice. Take a matchbox with you, with one match in it. When you'll see that the judge will need a match, you'll give him the match. And then he told them the whole instructions as to what should happen afterwards. So the date of the trial, the prosecutor was saying this whole thing about how this Jew desecrated the Polish people and how he should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. In the middle of all this, the judge, I guess in Poland you could do this, the judge took out a cigar and just was looking for something to light. This Jew jumps up and hands the judge the matchbox with the one match in it. The judge lights his match, sees it's empty, throws the box into the trash. Now, matches were distributed by the Polish government, and they all had the same emblem on them, the crest, the gold with the eagle, etc. The defense lawyer jumped up and said, Your Honor, I want to show that the honor of the Polish people has been desecrated right here in this courtroom. So the judge says, what are you talking about? Why are you interrupting the prosecutor? It said, you, Your Honor, just threw away the crest of the Polish people. What you did is exactly the same thing like my client who accidentally stepped on this banner, which he used to cover his most prized possession, his sewing machine. The judge said, case dismissed. And they all live happily ever after, and at least until Hitler came a machimo. But that's going to do it for us. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.